How many of you have been working on Psalm 1, memorizing it? That was your job for the new year. You have 1 month to get it down. So we're going to read at least the first, I think, four verses maybe together. There we go. Yep, first four. Let's read together, please. Psalm 1. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for your word, that it is truth. Father, we ask that you would apply it to our hearts today, that you would teach us, that you would draw us closer to yourself by the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, we looked at the beginnings of Psalm 1 last week. We talked about how blessed is the man who does not, is basically where we started, who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But instead, how blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Again, I would encourage you always, but especially as we start a new year, to get into his word. There's still a few options out on the table in the fellowship hall that you can look over. There's some copies of Psalm 1 to memorize, but reading plans to help give you some structure to get into his word. There's short ones. There's some that take 3 years to get through the Bible. There's some that are, a year getting through the Bible. There's still, I think, two brave people. I've heard from one. I haven't heard from another. Go ahead and poke him, yeah. That are trying to do it in 90 days. Are we still on track? Yes? We're working that way. Okay. 90 days is some of us. If you want to join with us, you can. It's about a half an hour a day is what it takes with that. But it's fun to get the big picture. We need both. We need the big picture. We also need the little picture and taking time to study his word. We're going to start with verse 3. Today, and it says, this blessed man, this one who avoids the counsel of the wicked, the path of the sinners, the seat of the scoffers, this one who delights in God's word, this one who meditates on it, will be like a tree that's firmly planted by streams of water. Now that picture, there isn't a stream in that picture, but it kind of reminds me of Colorado. Eastern Colorado anyway. When you're driving along in eastern Colorado, if you cover up the middle of that picture and take away the tree, that's pretty much what you see. But occasionally you will find a tree out in the middle of nowhere, nothing else around it, just like the picture, a tree by itself. Growing tall, growing green, it's strong, it's standing there in the midst of the heat of the summer, in the midst of the wind and the blizzards that they occasionally get there, of the winter. It stands and it grows strong. For me, that's a picture for us. Those of us who delight in the Lord, who delight in his word, are like that tree. What is it that gives that tree strength? It's its roots. It's the depth of the roots. Usually when you see a tree like that, frequently, there's like a watering hole. Sometimes there's an old horse tank or something, or for the cows, or there may be remnants of a windmill. Or sometimes it will be in a stream bed that you will see a tree like that. But there is some hidden source of water that gives that tree strength and stability, that makes it able to stand in the midst of the storms. That's a picture for us. What do we do when life falls apart? How do we handle it? How do we deal with it? It is the strength that can only come from God, and that comes by delighting in his word, spending time in it regularly. When we don't walk in the counsel of the wicked, but instead delight in His Word. When we don't stand in the path of sinners, but instead meditate day and night. When we don't sit in the seat of scoffers, we are like that tree, firmly planted with deep roots that feed and nourish us from God's Word, that give us stability. But it takes time. We need to spend that time, make that time, and be nourished by the Word, be strengthened by it, delighting it, making it our source of happiness, dwelling on it, meditating on it. We grow. We become strong like that tree. The more we take that Word in. I think the next slide has the words. Let's read together. Here we go. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water. Then it goes on. Planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season. Now, what's a fruitful person? Does it have to do with how many kids? Let's see, I got 12. Anybody beat that? Okay, no, that's not fruitful. That's not what it's talking about. A fruitful person is one who nourishes and feeds others around them. Someone who encourages and strengthens. Someone who has those deep roots that can stand. A person that brings words of healing, even words of conviction, words of encouragement. People who delight in God's Word bear fruit. They study it, they read it, they know it. God's Word literally comes out of them. Years ago, Leslie worked at a bank in southeast Colorado, one of those places where you don't see many trees. While she was working there, there was a man that would come into the bank occasionally. And I remember her talking about this guy. I think he had arthritis, but he took garlic in some form. We don't know if it was intravenous or pills or eating or what. But she said there were times she could be in the back room and know that he came in the bank because of the fragrance that followed this man. Whenever he came in, they would have to open the windows and air it out after he left. Now that's, yeah, it was bad. That's the negative side. The positive is that's how our life should be with God's Word. Every place we go, we should leave that fragrance, a good one, not the bad one of the garlic, but the fragrance of His Word. It should come out. It came out His pores. That should be the case in our lives. I've known several people like this. There were several ladies when we were in Nebraska that I would visit. One of them's with the Lord. One of them is 95, I think. Now, I still remember the picture of both of them. They were about this tall. They were pretty short. And there were these two ladies walking down the hall in the nursing home with their walkers. And they were talking about and sharing together the joy of heaven. And talking about how they couldn't wait to get there. God's Word was evident and active in their lives. There's people here that are like that. When you go and talk to them and visit them, and you end up coming away more encouraged from them. From them sharing how God has been working in their lives. God's Word coming out in their actions, their words. There's people that have questions frequently. Well, what does this mean? What does this say? That's God's Word coming out of their heart. That is bearing fruit. That is the result of delighting in God's Word, meditating, lives being changed and transformed as God's Word dwells in us, as we delight in it. Okay, next slide. Try again. See how much you can do without looking. Okay, Psalm 1. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season. Okay. Its leaf does not wither. That tree out on the plains, it was amazing. It could be over 100 degrees out there. There would have been no rain for weeks, and that tree would be green and vibrant. I was talking with Pam. This fits. About the redwoods in California. To stand at the base of those trees and look up. That is the strength that God desires for us to have as we delight in Him. How do those trees grow so tall? How does that tree on the plains stay green? God's Word being the delight of their lives. It gives them strength to stand. How does that tree keep from toppling over? I know the winds get strong up here. Out there, they're even 90, 100 miles an hour. That happens frequently. But that tree doesn't fall over. It stands strong. Those redwoods, how do they stay so tall and not fall over? It's their roots going deep into the ground. Our roots need to go into our source of strength, which is God's Word. During the rise of communism several years ago, a missionary couple with Inland China Mission lived with their young daughter in a small room for 2 years. Their only furniture was a stool. They could not contact their Christian friends for fear of getting them in trouble. Except for the smallest trickle, their funds were cut off by the government. Heat came from a small stove which they lit once a day to boil rice for dinner. The only fuel they had was dried animal refuse that they collected from the streets. These were indeed dry times. Later they wrote their testimony to God's grace in the face of such struggles and called their book Green Leaf in Drought Time. Because they found that those who delight in the Word of God do not wither, but instead produce the Holy Spirit's fruit. That's what God has for us. As we learn to delight in Him and to delight in His Word. Wind, rain, drought don't affect the tree. Struggles, trials, tribulations won't have as great an effect on us as we sink our roots deep into the Lord. Romans 8:35 says, "Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us." Sinking our roots deep into Him and holding on to the truth. This is true of a life centered on God. Delighting in His Word, meditating on His Word, we can withstand the heat of trials. We won't wilt or wither when struggles come. We will produce fruit. And it says we will even prosper. In whatever He does, He prospers. So, that means, start reading your Bible, you'll be rich and famous. Sorry. That's not what it's talking about. Not a bumper crop. I won't win the lottery. No more car accidents they aren't here. Getting stuck in the parking lot, which nobody knows about. That's not it. This is talking about real prosperity. Prosperity that stands under struggles. In the face of economic uncertainty, we can still be prosperous. In the face of heat and drought, we won't wilt. This is prosperity based more on the eternal than the temporal, what's here on earth. It's relying on God's strength and being grounded in Him, staying strong through all of the storms of life, relying on God's strength, relying on His word, and focusing on that. All right. Psalm 1, 1 through 3. Okay, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers. Verse 4. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff, which the wind drives away. The wicked are not so. Those who have, again, turned away from God, who have gone after the philosophies of the world. Those who are out for, we talked about this last time, me first. Get it now and nothing bad will happen. That's the basis for their life. That's the people this is talking about. But the godly are like trees that stand in the storms of life, putting their roots down deep, standing strong. The wicked are not so. They are like chaff. Now, how many of you know what chaff is? Some of you. Okay. When we were in Nebraska, we lived by a grain elevator, and they actually had, there were, I believe, 100 semis went through town a week, brought grain in. And the elevators had fans that were constantly blowing. I used to say it was graining outside instead of snowing or raining, because, and actually chaffing would have been a better word, because it was the chaff falling down out of the sky from all these trucks and all the grain that would go through town. The chaff is a little tiny piece in the, I got to get my directions right, this side is the wheat chaff. Inside of those little holes is the seed. They're about maybe a quarter of an inch that comes out of there. That's where all our flour and everything comes from. But all that is leftover. Nothing good for nothing. On the other side is what they call bee's wings. And that's the leftover from the corn. The corn kernels, there's this little pink thing around it. And those would come out. And actually, those, during corn harvest, that was the worst. If we would get snow, it very frequently turned pink because that corn chaff would blow over the top of it. So there were times, actually, when it looked like we had pink snow. You know how when the wind blows and you get those little swirls on the road of snow? You would get that with corn chaff and wheat chaff in Nebraska. That's what this is talking about. If you could come up with a use for that stuff, you could be rich. Because there's a ton of it around, but there's no purpose for it. And Scripture says, the wicked are not so. They are like the chaff which the wind drives away. They're worthless. The wind blows them away. They have no value. No worth. God's word is what is important. Depending on Him, relying on Him, studying His word. The wicked are not so, but they are like the chaff which the wind drives away. All right, here we go. Psalm 1, 1 through 4. It's getting smaller. Can you still see it? How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which bears in season. I got lost, sorry. And its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Verse 5, therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. This worthless chaff can't stand in the judgment. There's no value to their lives. Think about that. And the pursuit of our world after so many things, there is no value. It blows away like the chaff. They can't stand in the assembly of the righteous. When the redeemed are gathered, those who have repented and trusted Jesus as their Savior, this person won't be there. These people have never centered their lives on God. They haven't come to Him in repentance and trust. The end of the ungodly is judgment, the loss of all things. Verse 6, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Think of the assurance that we have. The Lord knows the way of the righteous. He knows what's going to happen. He knows what happened last Tuesday night, Wednesday night. I don't even remember what day. I had a memory loss, so it's gone. But God knows. God knows what's going to happen tomorrow. How many of you know? For sure. Sometimes we wish, we hope, but He knows the way of the righteous. But the way of the wicked will perish. Outside they may look nice. Inside they're empty, hollow shells. The life centered on God has roots. It can stand the storms of life. It bears fruit. It prospers. Let's see, do we have the first part? Okay, a little bigger. We'll try the whole thing. Here we go. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff, which the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Psalm 1. The whole thing. I would encourage you, again, take a paper if you need to. Go over it. Think about it. Dwell on it. Meditate on it. Focus on it. It compares and contrasts the righteous and the wicked. Those who follow the Lord, those who reject Him. The righteous are like a tree, standing strong and tall, not affected by storm or drought. The wicked are like the chaff, driven by the wind, destined for destruction, worthless. The righteous delight in God's word and meditate on it. The wicked scoff at God's word and those who follow it. The righteous will experience God's care forever, but the wicked will perish in judgment. Do you want to be chaff or a tree? Interesting to think about. Do you want true happiness, blessedness, or do you want empty, shallow happiness of the world? I want to close. It's a little long, but it so well fits. It's a quote from George Mueller. I think it's his diary. George Mueller, if you don't know, he lived from 1805 to 1898. He built orphanages in England. Back then, he prayed amazingly, and God supplied abundantly. The buildings are still standing today. I believe there's a college, is that right, on the site now. But a very, very amazing man. He read this verse, and these are his comments. He says, I saw more clearly than ever that the first great and primary business to which I ought to attend every day was to have my soul happy in the Lord. And we know George Mueller is a man of prayer. And he said, his first great and primary business is to have his soul happy in the Lord. Blessed, happy. The first thing to be concerned about was not how much I serve the Lord, how I might glorify the Lord, but how I might get my soul into a happy state and how my inner man may be nourished. That's the first one. How his inner man might be nourished. First thing. For I might seek to set the truth before the unconverted. I might seek to benefit believers. I might seek to relieve the distressed. I might in other ways seek to behave myself as it becomes a child of God in this world. And yet, not being happy in the Lord, and not being nourished and strengthened in my inner man day by day, all this might not be attended to in a right spirit. Before this time, my practice had been, at least for 10 years previously, I think this was actually 40 years down the road after that, for 10 years, his habit was to give himself to prayer after having gotten dressed in the morning. Now, he says, I saw that how I might get my soul into a happy state and how my inner man may be nourished, that thus my heart might be comforted, encouraged, warned, reproved, instructed, and that thus, whilst meditating, my heart might be brought into the experimental communion with the Lord. I began, therefore, to meditate on the New Testament from the beginning, early in the morning. The first thing I did, after having asked in a few words, the Lord's blessing upon His precious Word, was to begin to meditate on the Word of God. This is a man of prayer, okay? That's what I always think of, and George Mueller did, but the first thing he said was to meditate on God's Word, searching, as it were, into every verse to get a blessing out of it, not for the sake of public ministry of the Word. Not for the sake of preaching on what I had meditated upon, but for the sake of obtaining food for my own soul. That's how he started his day. Food for his soul. The result I have found to be almost invariably this, that after a very few minutes, my soul has been led to confession, or to thanksgiving, or to intercession, or to supplication, so that though I did not, as it were, give myself to prayer, but to meditation, yet it turned almost immediately more or less into prayer. Interesting. The man of prayer started with meditation, and it led to prayer. When thus I had been for a while making confession, or intercession, or supplication, or have given thanks, I go on to the next words, or verse, turning all as I go on into prayer for myself or others, as the word may lead to it, but still continually keeping before me that food for my own soul is the object of my meditation. That's what he searched for, longed for, delighted in, was the food for his soul. The result of this, that there was always a good deal of confession, thanksgiving, supplication, and intercession mingled with my meditation. That my inner man almost invariably is even sensibly nourished and strengthened. And that by breakfast time, he hasn't even had breakfast yet, with rare exceptions, I am in a peaceful, if not happy, state of heart. Thus also the Lord is pleased to communicate unto me that which very soon after I have found to become food for other believers. Though it was not for the sake of public ministry of the word that I gave myself to meditation, but for the profit of my inner man. The difference then between my former practice and my present one is this. Formerly, when I rose, I began to pray as soon as possible,
and generally spent all my time till breakfast in prayer. I don't know how early. Do you remember how early got up? I think it was hours, if I remember right. At all events, I almost invariably began with prayer, except when I felt my soul to be more than usually barren. In which case, I read the word for food or for refreshment or for revival and renewal of my inner man before I gave myself to prayer. So he gets up. This was his former practice. He'd get up in the morning, get ready to pray, and he'd pray and he'd pray, except, you know, those sometimes when you try and pray and you can't. So then he'd go to the word. He said, I often spent a quarter of an hour or half an hour or even an hour on my knees before being conscious to myself of having derived comfort, encouragement, humbling of soul. And often after having suffered much from wandering of mind for the first 10 minutes, quarter of an hour or an hour, I only then began really to pray. Interesting. Ever had that problem? You get ready to pray and it's like, okay, yeah, but I got to go do this and I got to go do this and I got to... That happened to George Mueller. For my heart being nourished by the truth, being brought into experimental fellowship with God, I speak to my Father and to my friend, vile though I am and unworthy of it, about the things that he has brought before me in his precious word. It often now astonishes me that I did not sooner see this. In no book did I ever read about it. No public ministry ever brought the matter before me. No private intercourse with a brother stirred me up to this matter. And yet now, since God has taught me this point, it is also plain to me as anything that the first thing the child of God has to do morning by morning is to obtain food for his inner man. The first thing is to get food for our inner man. As the outward man is not fit for work for any length of time except we take food, and as this is one of the first things we do in the morning, so it should be with the inner man. We should take food for that, as everyone must allow. First thing you get up in the morning, what is it? I'm hungry. I got to have breakfast. First thing in the morning, our souls are hungry. We need his word. This is the last one, I think, Doug. What is the food for the inner man? Not prayer, but the word of God. And here again, not the simple reading of the word of God, so that it only passes through our minds just as water runs through a pipe, but considering what we read, pondering over it, applying it to our hearts. I dwell so particularly on this point because of the immense spiritual profit and refreshment that I am conscious of having derived from it myself. And I affectionately and solemnly beseech all my fellow believers to ponder this matter. By the blessing of God, I ascribe to this mode the help and strength which I have had from God to pass in peace through deeper trials in various ways than I had ever before. And after having now about 40 years tried this way, I can most fully in the fear of God commend it. I think we can trust what he says. 40 years. How different when the soul is refreshed and made happy early in the morning. For what it is when, without spiritual preparation, the service, the trials, the temptations of the day come upon one. How blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. How blessed we are when we do that. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. I'd like you first to think about, have you repented and trusted Jesus as your Savior? Have you seen your need? That only Jesus can satisfy you and fill you up. If you've never asked His forgiveness, I would encourage you to pray now and ask Him to forgive you and to come into your heart and your life. For those of us who have, where's the delight of your life? Think about that. What do you delight in the most? We need to make it be God's Word. As we start a new year, as we start a new day, I would challenge you, encourage you to delight in His Word. To take and make that time to be happy in Him. Father, thank You. Thank You for the truth of Your Word. Thank You for George Mueller and the example of his life. Father, You know the things of this world so easily pull us away from You. They distract us. They call to us and say, they will make us happy. But Father, only You can do that. Lord, help us to turn to You. Help us to delight in You. To delight in Your Word, to meditate on it day and night. To make it part of, to build our lives upon it. Thank You for Your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. Benediction is Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night.